can open up in your Bibles to Judges chapter 2 as we get everything situated here. And I sure love you guys. Good morning, one and all. Judges chapter 2, if you would please stand as we read the word of the Lord together. Judges 2. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. And he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides. And their God shall be a snare to you. And it came about, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they named that place Bochim. And there they sacrificed to the Lord. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. So they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken, and as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. And yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed and afflicted them. But it came about when the judge died, that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not abandon their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Judges 2:21-22. I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. In this morning's reading, we have the very sad account of how the succeeding posterity of the children of Israel turned their hearts away from the Lord. It was only one generation later that the people of God befouled themselves with the worship of the gods and vile practices of the nation surrounding them. This breaking asunder of the covenant with the Lord caused Jehovah to declare the edict of our text. He would no longer drive out the nations, but would leave them to be a means of testing as to the true intentions and actions and motivations of his chosen people who were now living in the promised land. In the very next chapter of this book of Judges, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, we can read of the precise nations whom God would use for the purpose of seeing whether his chosen people would want to serve him or themselves in their plight of miserable conflict and strife. The peace, which had been the fruit of the victorious conquest of the Lord of the land by the Lord, was turned into devastation and misery because they did not choose to stay true to God. They needed the testing of their resolve under Jehovah to have any sense of relief established in their hearts. Judges 3:1-4. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formally. These nations are the five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, who lived in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath. And they were for testing Israel to find out if they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers through Moses. The same, sadly, is true in our lives and in our hearts. There are many times in which the Lord needs to bring forth those testings within the course of our walk with him, to focus our hearts and our minds upon him and not upon ourselves. It is too easy and too much the truth of how we operate on this earth that when everything is going smoothly, we tend to turn our eyes away from the steadfastness on the Lord. We begin to focus our attention on the distractions of this world, finding that we are less and less inclined to seek after God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our beings. We strive to achieve those things which glitter and catch our eyes like fish swimming after lures sparkling in the sunny waters. It is often through those testing times of the Lord that we find ourselves being brought into a deeper and more sincere and heartfelt relationship with our God. It is when we have no other place to turn, when every prop and stay of this world gives way and crumbles, that our hearts return to our faithful and loving and ever-present Savior and Lord. God finds it necessary, as with the case of Abraham and his beloved son Isaac, to test the mettle of our resolve to worship and to obey him only, or to put our personal values and will ahead of his in our lives. So often, those testings are very personal, and they are very precise, targeting the things that we hold nearest and dearest. This is the case because those things and those loves of our lives are often put onto an altar of idolatry, which we do not recognize until the Lord makes us choose him or them. Will we honor and obey him, or will we try to find our happiness and our comfort in what we have established as our self-created gods? What holds the dearest place in our hearts? Abraham was faced with this choice, as we can read in Genesis 22, 1 and 2. He was tested by God as to what was more important in Abraham's heart. Was it God, or was it the dreams of fulfillment which Abraham held with regard to this beloved progeny? Abraham loved Isaac, but it was based on more than just the love of a father for his son. This was the hope of legacy for which Abraham had earnestly desired more than 7 decades of his life. This was his son with Sarah, whom his beloved wife. This was the son of his waning years, in whom Abraham saw the way for a family heritage as was promised by God. Isaac was the means of having an enduring place in the remembrances of the posterity that would follow from this child. Abraham saw the desire of a lasting legacy embodied in his son. Would he see his hope in Isaac rather than in the Lord? That was the issue at hand. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." As we know from the continuation of this account in verses 10 through 18, Abraham indeed put his trust in the Lord to provide for the promise of a family that would become that nation too large to count. Rather than trusting in his own hands and the work of his own body, Abraham withheld nothing from God. He was willing to obey the Lord no matter what the cost, because he knew Jehovah would provide. The legacy and the heritage was far greater because it was established by God. Genesis 22:10-18. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Please take a moment right now and think back in the course of our lives as to those times when we were faced with this same testing. These were those momentous times of decision as to whether we would choose to obey the Lord and put our trust and our faith and our lives in His hands, or decide that we had every resource necessary to make it on our own. These times of testing show the real relationship that we have with the Lord. The platitudes and the recitation of verses and sayings can only take us so far. The core reality of how much the Lord really means to us, how deep our commitment and our dedication are embedded into the recesses and the crevices of our heart and soul, are the evidence of what comes through the fiery times of utmost trials and tribulation. Consider how the Lord instructed the generation of the children of Israel as recounted in Deuteronomy 8:1-6. He made it very clear to them that he had been the one who had put them to the test in their commitment and their honor of him as Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. He had made them hungry and thirsty so that he could provide their every need if they would but obey him above their craven lusts and desires after their own means and their own devices of survival. All of this was done as the training in which a father engages with his children. It is that hard work and that exercise which establishes a growth unto maturity to be enabled to stand in the midst of any situation as a man or a woman who will hold on to God no matter what. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 6. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. It is only a few verses later that the Lord declares what would take place if the people forgot unto whom they were so fully indebted and committed. As so frequently happens in our own lives, when we are completely honest with the Lord and with ourselves, we tend to slack off in our commitment unto him when the trials and the fiery tribulations are at an end. When he has proven himself with his tremendous and his faithful hand of deliverance, we get comfortable and we get lazy. We begin to think that we are the ones who found the means of survival, forgetting that it was all the work of the Lord. Thus we begin to put ourselves on that pedestal of honor. We neglect and we forget and we even reject the reality that God and his word needs our constant and fervent honor and devotion. We need him, whether we are being humbled and tried by hunger and thirst, or are fed and satiated in the cool pastures under his guiding rod of correction. He is to be the continual focus of our hearts and of our minds. Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 20. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Later, in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4, the Lord also made known how the ears and the thoughts of his people needed to be kept in tune to all that the Lord was saying through his word. He knew that there would be those who would try to capture the thoughts and the minds of the people through words of supposed prophecy and ideology that were contrary to the word of God. They would try to insert their ideas and their theology into the mix and thereby befuddle and confuse the people. The Lord made it very clear and precise as to the fact that his people needed to hold true to his commandments and his precepts with all their heart and soul. This was in order to not be led astray by those visions and dreams and prophecies that would distract and detract and twist the truth that was given by the Lord. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. This was actually the means of the Lord to have his people study and take to heart and to know his word. When we immerse ourselves in the word, when we spend time with the scripture, when we go before the Lord and deal with those difficult passages and ask Him to open them up in our minds and our hearts, then we are protected from any other dogma or ideology or philosophy or any other such conceptual ensnarement. We will have the Holy Spirit actively working in us to show the truth and to shield us from the lies and the deceptions. When we are actively engaged in our commitment and our devotion and our dedication to the Lord in His Word and in our prayers, in complete submission to the Holy Spirit, we will have that absolute and distinct working of God within us. He will plant our feet on sure and solid ground in the midst of the every testing of our faith and reliance upon God. Lord willing, we'll continue with this reality of the fact that we need to be established by the testing of the Lord so as to never take Him for granted. We need to know that He is dealing with us as His own children, working ceaselessly to make us men and women of God who will never be shaken from our love and our dedication unto Him. So be it. I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. Amen. And the Lord bless us all.